Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, as we are every Thursday. We enjoy our breakfast. Joe's got some cinnamon rolls that look amazing.
Yeah, keep your paws on that side of the table. They're great.
Well,
the
I can go get some of my own.
You can.
I can do that.
The food at Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel is, mwah, is that good.
Chef's kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it gets the Nani stamp of approval, Dr. Crane.
Well, I mean, Nani's going to have to try that for it to be the stamp of approval, Joe. You can't just go saying that.
Yeah, he told you, you can't be putting Nani stamp on things, all right?
She's more than welcome to come down anytime.
Come on now.
Okay.
She's always invited. She's always invited.
All right, so, Chase, let me ask you this.
Ask me this.
Vandy football is going to do something, try to do something on Saturday. They've only done seven times in the last 69 years.
Nice.
It is nice.
Seven wins?
Seven wins.
Wow.
They've only had seven wins in the last 69 years in that program. This could very well be, if Vanderbilt wins on Saturday and somehow can go and knock off LSU.
Oh.
And even if they lose to Tennessee, right? So you'll finish at 8-4. Might be the best football season we've ever seen at Vanderbilt.
Franklin went 8-4 and then won the bowl game.
12-13 were really good, but they didn't beat Alabama.
No, yeah.
They didn't beat LSU.
I'm just saying from a record standpoint.
Yes, sir.
Nine's the bowl.
I mean, they went 9-4 and 12-13.
Yeah.
So you can throw those in there. And we talk about Franklin, but he did an excellent job when he was here. You know, Bobby Johnson's player, doesn't matter. He still got the job done. So with Vanderbilt, this could be the best Vanderbilt football team we've ever seen.
South Carolina is a 4.5-point favorite coming into this.
But Vandy, they got a goofy head coach.
Vandy a home dog. I mean, I'm taking Vandy all day long.
Why?
Well, if you're just simply basing it on the spread, they've covered every game they've been the underdog.
No, I'm different. I'm talking about a win.
A win?
Not a win on your little silly gambling app.
Why do I think they're going to win?
Yes, sir.
I think they're the better team, and I think Diego Pavia is a dog. I mean, I think that kid, you cannot stop that kid. I think he has so much determination right now. Plus, here's the other thing. Clark Lee is not getting enough credit for what he's done with that defense. That defense is pretty good.
They are.
Like, I mean, they held Texas within three. I think Tennessee, you know, is probably not looking at them yet, but they will and go, okay, we got to be careful.
Well, I mean they
would not good defense.
Punched Auburn in the face. I mean, Auburn had no chance. Once you go back and watch that game, Vanderbilt was swarming.
And they're getting no respect. I mean, like I know South Carolina is a good team. They're a lot better than we thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Vanderbilt has played, they're not the favorite at home.
No. And plus, I think it's in Vanderbilt's favor that Carolina had an emotional big-time win over A&M. And now Shane Beamer's got to say, all right, guys, let's get ready for Vanderbilt. And what's the mindset going to be? Oh, Vanderbilt.
It's just Vanderbilt.
They're playing good. They beat a bad Auburn team.
But if teams are still thinking that at this point, they truly have not been paying attention.
They are, because it's still in the mindset of, like, this is the old Vanderbilt. And now, because of NIL, we cannot compare season to season to season to season. This Vanderbilt team in 24 is vastly different than 23 because of a guy like Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
And by the way, you can't spell Diego without dog.
That's true.
I just came up with that.
That's good.
You are most welcome.
That's good. You should use that at Zany's.
They won't call me back.
There's a reason for that.
That's right.
So that game coming up 3:15 on the and another thing too, like, this is gonna be a good game. It's on the SEC Network. Nothing against the SEC Network, but it's like,
or are you gonna bump? What's the 2:30 game? Georgia Ole Miss. You gonna bump that?
No, that's a good point.
It's a great point, pal.
You got Florida Texas before that on ABC.
Where's that game?
Texas.
Oh, okay. I'd like to see Florida. Florida wins that game. Billy Napier gets a 10-year contract.
Yeah.
He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. I don't see that.
So what do we think about Kiffin and Ole Miss? I mean, here's another chance for him. If they lose, I mean, he's already vastly overrated anyways, yeah, head coach. You guys all – and that's why –
They haven't beaten anybody. You're right. Look, I drank the Kool-Aid. I was all about it. Hotty toddy all night. Like
I saw him play. I'm like, this is a really good football team. The Kentucky punches him in the face. That's why I go back to after the 20 season when you Tennessee fans like, bring Kiffin back. He left your program in shambles.
Right.
There's no way I'd let him back on that campus as a coach at all.
The Kentucky was awful. That was a really bad loss. That's that one they have. LSU, okay. Tough game, rivalry, you know, that's always going to be a toss-up. But now you're in an elimination game. I mean, Ole Miss cannot afford to lose another game.
No,
if they want to make the playoff. You're at home. Georgia's a 2.5-point favorite. So that seems about right. I mean, I think this is a winnable game for Ole Miss, but they can't make the dumb mistakes that they have made, you know, at times this year, even in wins. But it's gonna be a good one.
Oh, I would love to see, just because I think Kiffin's so overrated, and Georgia is just kind of shutting their mouth and playing good football. I'd like to see Georgia go in there and win that game. Now the nightcap, we've talked about this. You've mentioned it several times. Elimination game in every way possible.
Yeah,
LSU and Alabama. But I think Rexford had a good point today about Vanderbilt. If LSU beats Alabama, and then Vandy's got to go to LSU. Well, does that Alabama win help? I mean, I think so because they're the number one team in the country.
If LSU beats Alabama?
LSU beats Alabama, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, so Bama, I was curious. I haven't looked at any of these lines yet. Bama's a 2.5-point favorite on the road. That's interesting to me. That's very – and because I think on paper, I do think Bama's a better team. But – what's the coaching matchup? Do you give Kelly, like, I don't think Brian Kelly is as great as Brian Kelly thinks he is, but I'd probably give him a little bit of the edge in the coaching matchup.
Well, and not only that.
In this game, because he's done this before.
Well, I saw Milroe at Neyland Stadium, and the crowd got to him, whether you Alabama fans want to admit it or not. I get Alabama at every chance to win that football game. Well, now you go to LSU, night game. College game days there. I mean, the level in that stadium is going to be 1988. LSU beat Auburn. I think it was like 7-6, and that was the game. Tommy Hodson was the LSU quarterback. That was the game that set off the Richter scale.
Yeah.
There was so much movement in Baton Rouge inside Tiger Stadium that it almost caused an earthquake. I mean, it registered on the Richter scale. I think we'll see that again. But it's always been that way.
This is such a
great Bam game. And LSU play at night in Tiger Stadium.
Oh, yeah. It should always be a night game.
Always.
In Tiger Stadium. I know my friend Brooke's listening, so roll tide. There you go. She's a big Alabama fan. So
he sacrificed our show to make some girl feel good.
I did. It's the kind of person I am.
When
you become program director, you can do that too.
Shout out to the ladies of the Donaldson Y. Hey, ladies, roll tide. How are you doing? Who does Oregon? Do you have you pulled up? Who does Oregon play this week?
Let me go to the Big Ten because you know that's still a thing. Oregon plays Maryland, so Oregon is hosting Maryland and Eugene.
That's just something else.
Explain it
I saw
again.
A thing on all
those nuggies.
That new commercial he's got out is funnier. The one
when he does the great googly moogly.
Oh, that new commercial is so good. I just saw it on 3 this morning. Did Dan Lanning call a timeout at Michigan? And it says Dan Lanning called a timeout. The head coach at Oregon called a timeout. Had his guys look at the video board to watch Michigan fans leave the stadium.
Really?
That's what On3 Sports had said. And I'm like, if that happened, that is an amazing troll job, and I absolutely love that.
I love a good troll job. People are laughing at our shout-out.
Who else? Anybody else you want to shout-out to, Chase? How about to the DJ at the Publix in Donaldson? He plays some. Oh my gosh, it's like Studio 54 to go in that place. Shout out to that guy, whoever it is.
I'm sure he's great.
Anybody else want to shout out too?
No, I'm good. I'm good right now.
Jill Jelinek, you saw Jill today, right?
Shout out to Jill. She's listening.
Who didn't pay any attention to you on the road?
She was focused. She was heading to the gym.
Yeah. Kick some tail, man.
That's right.
Good morning, Jill.
You don't mess with Jill. You don't mess. Jill, I bet Jill is 2 seconds or less at the red light honking.
Oh, absolutely.
She's got places to be.
Absolutely.
She's got places to be.
If that.
For sure.
While we're doing shout-outs, I'd like to shout out my friends over at the Y, the bingo friends that I used to play with back in the day. Thanks to you guys. You guys have really helped me out.
Okay.
Oh.
Were you the announcer, or did you play bingo?
No, I played bingo with a bunch of 70-year-olds.
That doesn't surprise me at all. You're like Better Call Saul. Did you ever, what were the prizes, like Golden Corral gift certificates?
Yeah, they were gift certificates, and then I won so much, they started giving me like notepads and little lawn gnomes, and I'm like, I don't want this.
A lawn gnome?
I swear, well, I still have them.
Why a lawn gnome?
I don't know. I started running out of stuff.
Did you walk into a room by accident? How do we play bingo with 70-year-old people?
Oh, well, my grandparents, they kind of kept me throughout the day when I just didn't want to go to like a summer camp or whatever. And I sat on the bench at the Y while they were working out and doing their water aerobics. And then after they were done, everybody got coffee. I sat around with all these people and they were like, oh, let's go to bingo. So we all went to bingo. And I sat there and then there was a bunch of people that just kept yelling at me every time I said it. So it's like bingo. And they're like, hey, he does not have bingo. I was like, they checked. I do have bingo.
Oh, nice. By the way, that's for amusement only, Dr. Crane, for the people listening out there.
Jill says 3 seconds and honk.
Okay. Do you want to give another shout-out to Jill real quick?
No, we're good. We've gotten all the shout-outs in.
Dr. Crane, you got one more left, didn't you?
Shout-out to my family. Hope you're having a great day, honestly.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
thought might you want to give one to Brian Rector. Good luck this weekend for Father Ryan.
You want to shout-out your granddaughter?
Yeah. She's not listening. But I've told my son-in-law, I told you this. Lennon, I love you. I don't know what to call it, like Papa Joe or JoJo, whatever. I love you. So I told you when I called you the day she was born that we practice RPOs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, and I had her. I'm like, you got to ride her into the hole, and then you got to pull it out and check the defensive end. And then my goal is to tell my granddaughter that she cannot date a coach or a player who loves to run the shotgun from the one. I will be adamant about that. If she says, Papa Joe, I've got my boyfriend's a quarterback and they do shotgun from the one, I'll say, sweetheart, you need to get rid of that young man. There are better ones out there. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man, that's funny. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the college football talk coming up next, and also – coming up at the bottom of the hour, Lorenzo Neal, former Titans fullback, yes, going to join us on the show. We're going to make fullbacks great again here on the program. We'll do that coming up. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this TV-themed Thursday. Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Which one is this?
L.A. Law.
L.A. Law. Okay. Nice.
I didn't hear the beginning of it.
Very good. Jill Jelinek weighs in. Always love listening to Chase and Big Joe in the mornings. You are correct. I'm 3 seconds or less, then honk. I'm a busy woman, and Fox 17 Sports Department is not going to run itself. That is very true. Thank you, Jill.
Oh, yes.
Appreciate that.
So I guess our question that you're now joining us, how long do you wait at a red light before you honk at the car in front of you? So I guess 2 to 3 is the common answer.
Yeah.
No really like immediate honks.
How long do you, like if you're at a red light, how long do you wait to honk at the person in front of you to go?
Okay.
2 to 3 seconds.
Yeah. All right. Not the 10 I did today because was just in another world.
No.
Okay.
No, if it gets beyond 3 or 4, then you're just being nice.
I think I'm just going to see how long it could go. Just in like how long, you know, because the 10 seconds.
I know, but depending on who you're behind, you might miss the whole light.
Almost.
See, and I have the, you know, because here's what's funny. you know, everybody has their commentary that they do in the car because nobody else can hear it. And there are times where, like, if there's somebody that I know is just like, I should probably take your license. Like, you probably shouldn't be driving. That they'll just sit there. I'm like, if you make me miss this light, I swear.
That's the problem.
I don't know what I'm going to do. But, yeah, you know.
You do something, right?
I'm going to get mad about it. I'm going to let you know.
You'll get fired up over that. Yeah. There are some red lights that if you don't get them, like, you're going to sit there for hours. Like, yeah, the light by the radio station, Donaldson Pike and Murfreesboro Road. If you don't get that light and somebody holds you up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
Oh, my favorite thing, too, is if you're coming from by our station on Murfreesboro Road, if you're coming from, like, Bell Road, that direction.
Yep.
And so you're turning right into the station. You literally have to turn your blinker on almost a mile out because otherwise they're just not going to pay attention. I get honked at for turning my blinker on, slowing down, and turning into the radio station.
Well, let's pull them into the station and have a word with them.
Fight them.
By the way, the red light by the apartment complex, that is a red light to stop traffic. You know that? It's not a red light to let people out.
No.
Because if not, you would have – you'd have like a 2 mile with no red lights, basically, and you could go 1,000 miles an hour. So there's the same one on Lebanon Road in Hermitage that's they red light there to stop traffic, and it drives me insane. But look, as I told you, my friends, things happen to us. It's how we react. We control how we react. And oftentimes, I react like a complete idiot. So I'm sorry on all that.
Wes in Clarksville, I pull an Earnhardt and rattle their cage. If I could get away with that.
Now, what does that mean?
You get up on the bumper and hit the bumper a little bit. You don't wreck them.
Can you imagine doing that, man?
That's what I was telling you about earlier. That's what he thought I was doing. I was like, dude, I'm just in 5 o'clock traffic.
What you do next time that happens is you get out and you go, well, I didn't mean to wreck you. I was just trying to rattle your cage a little bit. That's Earnhardt, Bristol in 99, Terry Levani. He didn't mean to wreck him. Just wanted to rattle his cage.
Chase won't be into the show today. He was shot in the arm because he's rattling somebody's cage on Lebanon Road. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow.
Hey, we have a good time. We're just trying to be serious here on the show. Right, Ricky? 615-737-1025. We haven't talked about Tennessee yet and their matchup against Mississippi State. Do you kind of feel like me and feel that, you know, no offense, Dr. Crane, I know that's your team, but Tennessee needs to absolutely flex on Mississippi State. They need one of those games because I don't think they've fully played to their potential yet.
What is the line on Mississippi State, Tennessee?
24.
Because I think this could be a frustration, let's get the frustrations out, let's do what we can, ball game.
Yeah.
Versus Mississippi State. I would take that all day long.
This needs to be a stomp a mud hole and walk it dry game.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this needs to be.
It's also homecoming in Knoxville. So, I agree. I think let's do it all because, look, you got Georgia next week, and then you got UTEP, and you got Vandy. So, you got to get primed and ready for a night game in Athens next week. This is the game you work all the kinks out. It's a perfect opportunity for Tennessee to do that. And to show what they can do. Defense is playing great. Sampson, the running back, is kicking butt. Let's get Nico. I think we'll see a lot of Nico this weekend.
Yeah, he needs it. He needs to play.
Yep, I totally agree.
He needs one of those games where he can get into a rhythm. Because, see, that, you know, everybody loves it as a Tennessee fan that, okay, these deep passes or a big run, you know, these chunk plays, and then they score in, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 plays. He needs sustained drives because he's got to get into a rhythm. That's going to help him develop as a quarterback.
See, I disagree with that.
Okay.
I think with that offense and how quick he goes, I think getting down the field and scoring quickly as you can.
So you think the quicker the better.
Then do it again. And the problem, he's missed so many open receivers this year. I mean, so many. Yeah. I'd get him to a rhythm like, all right, run the play, line up, run the play. I mean, let's see them that up-tempo. Go, 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 go. I want to see that this weekend in Knoxville because that's going to put Georgia on its heels.
Yeah.
And Georgia's already seen everything you're going to do. They'll practice you next week about the hurry up, hurry up. You need to worry about yourself. I'm Tennessee, the offense, and go out there and at a high rate and just run that and keep going, going, going because Mississippi State hasn't seen that all year long. So you're going to go out there and run your offense 100% full throttle and do that. That's what I'd like to see from Tennessee on Saturday.
I wonder if they'll do it again, but Saban had, I guess it was probably like a month or so ago, Saban did a really good breakdown on game day of the up-tempo offense and what Tennessee runs and how difficult it is to defend. And the big thing, you know, that he said was the reason that it's been so effective is because it doesn't give the defense can't sub.
True.
Because Tennessee's not subbing. Now, the interesting part about it is by the time you get to the end of the drive, and the reason why I think you might be right of getting there as quickly as possible, Tennessee's not subbing either. So all those guys are tired by the time they get to the end of the drive. That's mm-hmm. why they're trying to get those chunk plays. If Nico can just get where he can hit some of those big passes mm-hmm. like he's trying to do,
yeah,
you're going to see a real dangerous offense.
Oh, and we haven't. I don't think we've seen them on a complete 60-minute that offense
I don't
this
either.
Year.
I don't either. And so that's why I wonder, is it just he's playing like a – I mean, I know he's a redshirt, but he's playing like a freshman.
Yeah.
You know, I think the mistakes he's making, they can fix. They can coach a lot of that out of him.
It's a lot of pressure, too. We don't talk about that. You're the quarterback of the Tennessee Volunteers.
Right.
I mean, you've
got – hasn't had a prolific quarterback. You know, I know Hendon Hooker was in line for the Heisman and all that, but they haven't had that dude right. that can be that dude for a few years in a long time.
It's been a long time. So the pressure with him being the quarterback of a football team that's got a massive fan base, it's like, you know, with Milroe and when Jaden Daniels at LSU and Carson Beck and who was Stetson Bennett. I mean, we don't understand the pressure put on these guys, but it's always been that way as a quarterback. And sometimes guys deal with it good. I think Nico's dealing with it just fine. But also, I think he presses sometimes too much as the quarterback. But, look, if somebody sent a note, it's like, well, what happens if Tennessee gets up 28-0? You still do the up-tempo? Well, no. You adapt your offense and you run the football. Then you milk the clock. That's how you do that. But you got to get that 28-0 lead first. Then you can worry about that stuff. Let the defense take over because you know the offense is going to have to pass the ball. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
The offense wins the game. The defense closes it out.
Coming up next, one of our favorites, former Titans fullback Lorenzo Neal is going to join the program, of course, in San Francisco. We look forward to our conversation with Lo Neal. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday, TV-themed Thursday. Here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Always enjoy our time here. Buddy Todd hanging out with us as well. Hope to catch up with Lorenzo Neal here in just a second. Titans, Chargers, two of his former teams meet up. Of course, he does some media and radio out in San Francisco. But I've enjoyed talking some college football. We'll hit him with some of that stuff. But hopefully, Lo Neal can join us here in just a few minutes. What's the Thursday night game?
Cincinnati at Baltimore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So Baltimore debuting these matted purple helmets that look awesome.
They look really good. They look really good with Derek. I think now the Ravens are going to be on a mission to get him to 2,000.
I think they're on a mission to get him to break the record. So I texted you guys last night that our buddy Phil that does trivia, one of the questions was who holds the record for the most rushing yards in a season? It's Eric Dickerson, right?
Yep.
That was OJ was the first to 2,000, right? Was he the second?
Might have been, yeah. I know CJ did it. Derek did it.
I know, but like Eric Dickerson.
But here's the problem I got with this, okay?
Okay.
Derek Henry's going to have 17 games. Dickerson had 16 games.
Okay.
OJ did it in 14.
Okay.
All right, so where do you draw the line?
Like, what do you want him to do? Not count it as a record? Like it's not
first of all, watch your tone.
It's not. I know, but I hate this argument. It's not.
But
their,
it's not an argument.
It's yeah, it is. It's not their fault. They changed.
He had
it.
Three more games to break the record.
That's so not his fault.
It should be an asterisk. You had three more games to break the record. Okay, when a guy did it.
Okay,
in 14.
Put the asterisk. What does that even mean? That doesn't matter.
It means he did it in 14 games. Another guy did it in 17. Does that not? You don't think see the value in that?
No, because the rules change.
When's our trade deadline? At 102.5 the game.
It's passed.
Damn it.
I'll send you to afternoon.
I'll see if I can
deal with him. He can deal with you.
I'll see if I get an afternoon co-host and a fourth rounder with Chase McCabe.
So, okay, in nine games, Derrick Henry is at 1,052 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's on pace to he's on pace to get there.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if he would get to, was it 2,105?
Yeah, with Dickerson?
Yeah. Like, so if he, you know, because he, now he's past nine games, so he has eight left, including tonight. I mean, if he does 2,000 yards twice in his career and be the first to do that, like,
well, remember,
there's no argument in my mind.
Derek Mason can talk about this. The weather's about to turn bad.
Yep.
You got to still play a lot of those AFC North teams.
Yep.
Weather's going to be awful. I just pound him. And, you know, I hope he does because we can still stop that, when you hit 30, you're done narrative, which is just so ridiculous.
Well,
when people say that.
Here's the other thing. He's only run the ball 168 times.
He's averaging 5 yards a carry almost?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's not that bad. So, I don't know. I don't like the Ravens, but I'd love to see it. I cheer for him.
Yeah. When Chris Johnson had 2009 and 2006 yards, remember they called back a 75-yard run.
Yeah.
On a dumb holding penalty,
right.
Which was just, nah. But in that 2009 season, and Jeff Fisher won't admit it, but I'm telling you right now, when they realized the season was over with, the goal became to get Chris Johnson over 2,000 yards.
Of course it did.
That's all it became. That's all became the focus. And they'll deny, but we do not forget, people. We do not forget.
We do not forget. Let's go to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man, Lorenzo Neal, who joins us now on the program. Lo, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How we doing?
We're doing fantastic. You know, we love talking fullbacks and making fullbacks great again, but I want to get your thoughts on the matchup this weekend as two of your former teams meet, the Chargers and the Titans. Chargers kind of trying to, you know, they've had a decent season at this point, trying to figure it out with Jim Harbaugh. The Titans are leading the drive on the struggle bus with things in the NFL. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, I think that you have a team. You think about the predecessor, the previous coach for the Titans. One thing that he did is he had guys that could play defense. The Titans never necessarily had that scoring, prolific offense, but they always played pretty consistent defense. And it was a tough physical, and that's who Vrabel was, the player. I remember playing against him in New England Patriots, or, you know, his illustrious career. And that's what he was. That's what he wanted, a tough team. He wanted a disciplined team, and he had that. Just didn't have firepower on offense. So I said that to say this. No, Vrabel's no longer there. He's exited the building. But you still have players and pieces, you know, from that era. You still had some of the culture that's still left over. There's a reason why Harbaugh and the Chargers have plucked and taken players from the Titans via trade, via free agent, because you have to realize Ortiz, he came from where? Baltimore, a place that sees the Titans, a place that understands the kind of men and the kind of players and how they're built. So that's why Joe Ortiz had, you know, taken a liking to some of these players, and you see this impact that they're having on the Chargers team. When you watch this matchup and you think about – go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I thought you paused. Keep going.
No. I think you look at both teams, and it looked like one team is starting to ascend and one team is starting to descend. But you watch the Titans last week. They played it very physical. They found a way to beat, you know, a team that everyone talks about, hey, how tough, and they just got a young quarterback, and they're going to be okay, this New England Patriots. So that was a good barometer and a good test to say, hey, look, that the Titans are playing, that was a good football. That was good football and was able to win. Both teams, yes, they're under 500. Both teams are struggling this year. But still, that was a big win by the Tennessee Titans.
Lorenzo Neal is with us on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And Lorenzo, we're inside the bubble here in Nashville. It comes to the Titans, but you're on the West Coast. When the Titans come to mind, what's the first thing you think about on this 2024 Tennessee Titans football team?
And when you think about it, you're like, who's there? When you go around the league, you look at, you know, you think about Atlanta, you'll think Kirk Cousins. If you look at it, you know, teams, Mahomes, you think about a team, and you go around the league, and you think about, if you look at the Chargers, Herbert, there's Khalil Mack. What name, what really true brand do you have on offense? What true brand do you have on defense? I don't think it has those names. That's what you, when you think about the Titans, you just think, okay, here's a team that doesn't necessarily have superstars on the team. That's what comes to mind. Where is the superstars? Where are the game changers on that particular team?
No, and we completely agree with all that. So I told Chase, I want to get you on the show, Lorenzo, because I think you're one of the greatest fullbacks who's ever put on a uniform at any level of football. But now we're starting to see the fullback kind of return, because all these spread offenses, when they get third and one, they need a big guy in there. They bring in a fullback and all that. Are you seeing that? Are you sensing the return of the fullback? Especially I'm seeing in college football, Lorenzo. Not so much in NFL, but college football now is kind of re-embracing the fullback.
I think it's going to be a return of the Mac. There we go. Return of the fullback. Let's make it great again. I do believe that you're starting to see, even some in the pros, you look at the Chargers, they're using the 300 pounds, you know, defensive lineman who plays defensive line and a fullback, caught a couple passes out of the backfield. They are moving the fullback. You look at certain teams, they are going back a little bit to fullback. So I think that it won't completely die. You're going to have some teams that still continue to use it. I wish that it was used more, and I think that the more physical the fullback position gets, and once they start saying, hey, guys, understand, hey, look, I have to go in here and move people, separate them, create a new line of scrimmage. When you get guys that just go in and then they just get there and it's a stalemate, the tailback says, I don't want a fullback, because if he doesn't create a new line of scrimmage and if he's not moving the linebacker and creating an angle for the running back to be able to hit the hole and he just gets there and he stops his feet and there's no movement, it kind of impairs the running back's ability to run. So I think there's been a combination of why the fullback position has died. So that's a whole dissertation. I have that on the fullback position and why. But I think that when you look at this particular game and just this matchup, this is a team that the Chargers, guys, if you look at the Chargers and you said 21, if the Chargers have scored 21 points this season in every game, if they just scored 21 every game, you know this Chargers team would be undefeated? When you think about this L.A. Chargers team, if you look at the defense, the way that they're playing, this team offensively, that's what's been the biggest hamper and the biggest thorn in the Chargers, you know, rear end, is because of the fact the inconsistency on offense. You have a high-powered quarterback as one of the top 10 quarterbacks in this league in Herbert, and the inability for this team to gel offensively has been the Achilles heel. Think about it. If this team has scored 21 points this season in every game, they would be undefeated. You know who that means they play? That means they'll beat the Steelers. That means they'll beat the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, if you think about what this team has been able to do defensively, it's been pretty amazing. So I think now the Chargers, you watched them last week, the ability to go score 27 against the Cleveland team that we just came off a big win. This Charger team is now starting. You have Glad McConkey, these rookie receivers. You didn't have necessarily the veteran type of receivers, so it took a while for this offense to get going. But I really believe this Chargers offense is going to start cooking, and I think this is a week that, hey, you're coming back home, have an opportunity to play a Tennessee Titan team that seems to be a little bit down, seems to trade, you know, you traded Hopkins, you traded some pieces. So is this team starting to rebuild, trying to fill the cupboards for the draft, make trades to be able to say, hey, look, let's reinvest and press reset to make sure we do it during the draft. If that's the case, I think that you're still going to see a very competitive game because the men that's on this Titan team. But I still believe that the Chargers, just what it looks like, where these two teams are going, good game, but I still think the Chargers right now seem like they're heading in the right direction.
Lorenzo Neal is with us. Former Titans fullback. What's interesting to me is, you know, I look at Eddie George had his best year with you as his fullback. LaDainian Tomlinson had his best years in San Diego with you as his fullback. Do you think that someone like Derrick Henry, that's almost built like a fullback, would have benefited from good fullback play? Or is it like you were saying earlier that it might have hindered him a little bit?
Well, I think when you look at McLeod, when you look at, you know, Big 42, I think that they do have a guy that's in the backfield a lot with Derrick Henry. If you go look at some of the plays, yeah, what Baltimore is doing, Baltimore is running a fullback, not all the time, But, you know, they're in the shotgun. Actually, Baltimore had to adjust because Derrick Henry doesn't necessarily run great out of the gun formation. He's better out of an eye back or better, you know, at single backs. But you do see McCard, number 42, in the game a lot with Derrick Henry, especially on a lot of those toss sweeps where you see those big runs. He has a fullback at times. So I think Derrick Henry will benefit from a fullback. And I think it's a situation where you give him options. When you have a tailback, you give different options. I'm not saying put the fullback in for 90% of the play. I think fullback has its purpose and has its reasons why you have him in there. And then why not have him in there? At certain times, you want to go 12 personnel. So you get two tight ends. Now you make the defense play the whole, you know, every blade of grass because you got 12 tight personnel. So now you create more gaps. You create to spread the defense out. Sometimes when you do put a fullback in at times, you have a safety come down in a box. So it puts 9-8-man box. So it gives you, you know, it's harder sometimes to run against and when you have two backs. So there's a lot of variations and there's a lot of pluses and a lot of minuses why and when to use a fullback in any formation in football.
Lorenzo, this January, it'll be 25 years since the Music City Miracle. First off, how are we that old? And secondly, what's it like? I know you've been asked this a million times, but being a big part of one of the most iconic plays in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah, the first one is the one that I scratch my head. How did we get this old? I look around now, 53 years old, 54 years old. The time goes so fast when you're young and you're just going through and you're like, oh, man, I'm just 20, oh, 24. And the older you get, the faster time goes. It seems like yesterday that Music City Miracle and catching that ball and pitching over to Wycheck and over to Dyson and watching it just unfold. And during that play, it looked like time had stopped. It looked like time stood still. It looked like this play took forever to develop. It seemed like, man, it was an eternity. And now 25 years later, that play still seems like an eternity with how long it took place. And watching the ball, I remember saying, I know it's going to Wycheck before the kickoff. I go to Wycheck and say, Wycheck, they're going to kick me this ball. Come get it. I didn't tell anybody on the team but Wycheck because I knew they were going to kick it to me. And if I would have told everyone, then everyone would be anticipating. They would have had their eyes on me. So I told Wycheck, they're going to kick this to me. You come over and get it. So he and I, because I could have threw the ball if I wanted, but I knew that if I caught it, took a couple steps, if Wycheck's there, that's why I knew he was going to be there because it was pre-planned. He got the ball, threw it over to Dyson, and if that was the reason why the play worked. Because I got it, looked like I was running, Wycheck comes over, right time, I make a block after, make the throw, Wycheck makes the throw, and just, it was forever, getting watching, listening to the crowd get louder and louder and louder and then erupting. Unbelievable. Unbelievable play. I'm so grateful to be a part of that. That moment would be forever etched in my mind and in my brain because at the time and when it happened and how it happened, it's just unbelievable.
I need you to clear this up for us because Derek Mason's on the next show, so I'm sure he's listening as he's getting ready. He got hurt in that game, was supposed to be on that play. And then I think maybe Isaac Byrd was the other one. So Dyson had never really practiced the play, but Derek feels like he would have been able to run that play to perfection, and it would have worked out the same way. Do you agree?
No, I don't. I think it probably would have. Mason always wants to be about himself. You know, I call Mason the bootleg preacher, guys. He's got a Bible in one hand and a bottle in the other. That little guy is so funny. So you guys give him some hell for me. No, D. Mason. He was over on the sideline because he was cramping up, couldn't go in there. He was scared. Why don't you ask himself the truth? Say, Mason, the moment got too big for you. Low Neil had to carry, you know, had to carry the load for you, so he got scared. But no, that did happen, though. Mason was first. Isaac Berg was the next guy up. Dyson very rarely did that play, and it just still worked out to be amazing play. And, yeah, and that play is infamous and will always be remembered.
Oh, yeah, it's so good. We will tell him you said hello. Lo, appreciate you doing this. It's good to catch up with you. We'll do it again soon.
No worries. Cheers, guys.
Absolutely. Lorenzo Neal, former Titans fullback, NFL fullback, played with LaDainian Tomlinson in San Diego. I think played with Derek twice here and in Baltimore.
Yep.
At the end of his career, but appreciate him. We'll come back to a quick birthdays and call it a day. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We went a little long with Lo Neal, so no birthdays today.
We'll do
some extras tomorrow.
There you go. Hey, as we always close the show out to our guys out there, listen, you're doing a great job. If you are struggling, as we see every day, on your cell phone, dial 988. You can text 988. Just please talk to somebody if you're going through anything. I know we have bad days, but a bad day does not ensure that you have a bad life. Know that, all right? If you need us, we're here for you. We love you. God loves you. That's the most important thing. We're always here for you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. We'll be back at it at 9 tomorrow. But the Bootleg Preacher DVD, they are coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.